It's 4:43 on Downtown. Time for Message in the Bottle, presented by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us this afternoon. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon, Radio Land. How's everybody doing?
Good? Fabulous. Just wonderful. How badly did you feel watching that stuff fall out of the sky this weekend?
I didn't feel badly watching the stuff. I felt badly the next morning when I went to try and clear.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did mention Eric Charles yesterday on the air, who appeared to be the only person making the most of it, enjoying it by going down that slide and scooting across the ice.
And I made a point of that. I'm like, this might be the only chance you have all year to go play in this. Go. But at one point on Sunday morning, I was on the side of our house. I live on a corner lot, and I was trying to, clear the sidewalks as a good citizen does, especially one with currently multiple dogs under his care. You start to consider the sidewalks as sacred as the streets. And it was so difficult to clear that I was giving my, usual vocal leanings. And my wife literally came through and she's like, I heard your operatic frustration from the other side of the house. Now, bear in mind, this was over the sound of the snowblower that I was trying to operate. So, yeah, I didn't love it.
I'm no singer, but I believe I express the same frustrations, just less musically.
That's right. And I think that's, I try to let my neighbors appreciate my frustration tonally. Anyway, look, this is a little weird, and I mean I know we're on the air, but a quick change of topic, Rich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've been friends for a while, right?
It's true.
Probably over a decade, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a little overhead in a gambling debt, and I was wondering if you had, say, $4.5 million you could...
Yeah, I mean, I don't bet myself, but I would gladly cover your debt.
Right. Thank you.
I just want to clarify, it's not me betting... I am just covering you because we're friends.
And I'm going to do it on your computer.
Yeah, I think that would be easiest. Yeah.
I think that's the best. And good.
And if anybody asks, you should just go on TV and tell the truth about what happened.
I will. What else could I possibly do?
Right.
Via an interpreter.
I will have your back, I think is what I'm saying. But again, I don't speak your language, so I'm not sure.
Hi. I want everybody to understand something, and then I'll move on to wine, I promise. I grew up loving Pete Rose so much, as much as I loved Mike Schmidt. And I knew they were different cats. I did. But Pete was part of my baseball childhood, and I loved the man. And frankly, I assumed that everybody gambled on everything. I mean, I'm really mad right now. I'm like, you let my boy back into baseball and back into the Hall of Fame if you're going to do this, because it is not it is not fooling anybody. And I'm just, free Pete.
I would take it more seriously if the Ohtani press conference wasn't sponsored by FanDuel and the Caesar Sportsbook.
I know. The absurdity is, okay, here's the deal. You know what I'm doing after this? I'm making spanakopita. You know what you do when you make spanakopita? You layer upon layer upon layer. And this is just all layers of not phyllo dough, I'll tell you that. Let's talk wine. All right. Oh, my God. I never thought I'd see the day. Cool. Well, anyway, yeah, in all fairness, fortunately, folks, I don't owe any money on gambling because I know enough to know that. I would have to answer to a higher power, and that is not a bookie. That is my wife. So let's talk. We're finishing up this month. We're talking about how the juice gets to you all. And remember, we sort of started with the beginnings of it all, like amphora, things like that. And we talked about shipping, you know, in containers, you know, refrigerated containers last week. And so we're just going to kind of talk about the current innovations and what they're sort of doing to the business. And obviously, I touched a little bit on boxes and cans, but let's just talk a little bit more about it. I'm telling you, a couple years ago, it really seemed like decent box wine was going to take over. And it's not that there isn't. There is quite a lot of decent boxed wine, and some people were making the move to that. But what happened is, I think there's still so much of a, and this is going to sound weird with what comes next, but such a stigma from, you know, the producers like Franzia and stuff like that, that the bag-in-box thing still is hard for people to wrap their minds around. They say there can't possibly be anything good in that box, even though the juice is perfectly good. Now, it's not super high-end. It's you know, what you'd find in a $15 bottle or something like that, but certainly I carry many, you know, bottles that are delightful in that range. So the other thing that obviously came around is cans, yeah? And you'd say, well, Eric, I mean, you know, one of the reasons that cans should or shouldn't do well is because, of course, they basically held lousy beer for eternity, right? And my answer is, well, yeah, that's true. Which is why when craft brewers started to can instead of bottle, there was a lot of like, but I would argue then to you that it was the result of those quality craft brewers that really made a lot of people say, wow, I mean, we can throw stuff in cans and people will actually give credence to it, which is a remarkable, you know, mindset change. I'd say at least, you know, if you wanted to equate it to something, with people understanding that twist-off tops on bottles of wine are perfectly acceptable. So whereas the boxes didn't really take hold, cans really did. But, and it's a big but, the thing that came along at the same time was two things. One, the rise of spirits and the rise of mixology, and that gave birth to something called ready-to-drink RTD beverages. The other thing that happened was the pandemic, which gave rise to the fact that you didn't have a lot of guests coming over, and you didn't necessarily have a lot of reason to make a big batch of margaritas or something like that, but you might want a margarita or a old-fashioned, before you flipped into your whatever that night. And so the convenience of the ready-to-drink cocktail has taken a massive chunk, not only out of the canned or boxed wine category, but of wine in general. Wine across the board is 2-3% down, not up. The spirits companies or the alcohol concerns that are making gains are making those gains off of spirits, off of, as I said, RTDs. There are very few wine companies that are, like, up. And those that are the ones that sort of diversified into more generic wine. The one I can specifically think of is Duckhorn. Duckhorn, for years, was a very, very high-end California winery. And then it started making a mid-level blend called Decoy, which is quite good. But then it got sold, and now there's Decoy everything, and it's a lower-priced wine sourced from a lot more places. So that's making gains, but only because it took a, you know, it's like when Mercedes introduced their C-Class or whatever. It's like, okay, well, you're selling more vehicles, but are they Mercedes? So it's a tricky, it's a slippery slope. But the other thing that I think is kind of interesting, if I can get back to interesting forms of packaging, is the phenomenon of kegging wines, which is another thing that started to happen pre-COVID. Took a little dip during COVID because obviously all the restaurants closed, but is now coming back in a stronger way. And the concern with that, or the downfall to that, if you're looking for a label, a name, it won't be that. Though there are some fairly respected winemakers out there doing it, but it's really much more designed for your house pours, right? Like your house Prosecco, your house red, your house white. And they're remarkably affordable, and they allow you to circumvent the fact that one of the chief expenses in wine is the packaging itself, like the weight, the shipping, everything like that, much like when you're doing beer. A keg of beer is much cheaper than the equivalent canning or, packaged volume. So anyway, just some things to think about as you're out there in restaurants. And retail places looking for whatever you're looking for. There are some really interesting alternative packaging. You'll see more of it as the summer comes along because, for instance, me, I will be bringing in more canned wines because more people will be going out.
I think last couple summers, a couple of the, I think it's Vrock, is it? The rosé pouch?
Yeah, Vrock, yeah.
Oh, so good.
Exactly. So good. I'm out of time. Thank you for playing me off. I will talk to you all next week, and I look forward to it. In the meantime, don't let anybody pull an April Fool joke on you.
I'll be careful of that, and place your bets wisely, Eric.
Yes, sir. I promise.
Thanks, Eric.
Cheers.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle every Tuesday afternoon here on the program.